colorful like every occasion. We a global podcast, not a radio station. If you bump us in the car, that's a city innovation. Get your mind right, shine bright. Every place a highlight. Tell my chest and point to God, cause homie, that is my guy. Beat us for a lifetime. Motivate with my rhymes. Two H's up in my name. Have hope, that is the guideline. A rush, I be spazzing now. Homie, you can have the clout. People joke about me. Guess what? I'm the one that's laughing now. Oh, pardon me, starving me. I'm just getting started, G. Bloodline from the islands, man. My family, where them farmers be. We done with rehearsing. Time to lift the curtains. Time to put musicians. Every one of them determined. We gon' hit the surface with Filipino hip hop and Filipino R&B. Hey, it's time to lift off. This is heavy rotation, This is heavy rotation, This is heavy rotation. Got that flavor for your ear, for like every occasion,
Number one for Filipino hip hop and R&B. This is Heavy Rotation.
My special guest is no stranger to Heavy Rotation. He's an R&B pop singer, songwriter based out of Los Angeles County. With millions of streams, his music captures a unique blend of classic R&B storytelling with an alt-pop sound. You may know him for his singles Why Do I Still and his EP Knots with his cousin Moira De La Torre. And he's back to talk about his latest single, Heavy's Neiman, is on Heavy Rotation. And dude, it's been a long time. What is up?
I know, it's been a minute, man. It's been a minute. We are out of the pandemic, bro. So, you know, like back to the grind. It's been good, man. I'm excited for this year.
Shows are back. So we definitely got to talk a little bit more about this upcoming show that you have coming up in March. You have some brand new music. Excited, yes, for the new stuff that is coming. But first, man, I got to ask you, you know, how does it feel to be a Filipino artist now in 2023? Dude, Steve Lacy is now another Filipino-American artist to the
Grammy Award winner.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. He's another Grammy Award winning artist that is now Filipino-American. So how does it feel, bro, being a Filipino artist in 2023?
Dude, it feels good, man. I mean, like, I think just in general, as like being like AAPI, like it seems like we have a seat at the table. And I think with organizations such as Gold House and then, you know, Heavy Rotation or Mix, like there are just so many more outlets and platforms. Like even before since the pandemic to now, I just feel like there's so much more platforms for our culture and our people to be able to be celebrated and brought to people's attention. It just feels really good to be able to, yeah, have a seat at the table, be in the conversation, and be able to represent that with pride now, you know? Because I think there's not that I was ever ashamed or anything, but I just feel like nowadays there is so much more celebration in like my Filipino identity, and like to be able to like now explain those ties to my music and my like way the way that I write music and lyrics. Like I think it just feels really good now, you know, and just seeing people like her and like Steve Lacy and Bruno and like all these people, like it just feels really good to have like these like examples of people like pioneering the music space with under like the Filipino umbrella, you know. And so it feels good, bro. I'm stoked. I'm pumped.
And I love that you said that, because that has actually been the new focus for Heavy Rotation, is really showcasing and exemplifying and even uplifting Filipino excellence in music, and using Heavy Rotation as that platform to help, you know, identify who those people, you know, who those players are, who are doing those things, you know what I mean? And to me, I think you're one of them. You know, you're one of those examples that I would love people to learn more and to get to know you a little bit more as well. And you know, I mean, shoot, this has been so a long time for us to get together. You've been busy, dude. So you got to tell me like what's up for this year? What do you have in the works?
Man, so I have an EP coming out in March. And the first single from it is a song called Fashionably Late, coming out on February 24th, a 1 week before my headlining LA debut. So like I've had headlining shows before, but it was primarily in like Orange County. And so to now be able to be having my first headlining show in LA, like the legendary and iconic Peppermint Club, is really, really exciting. It's a day before I turn 30, bro. So it's like a big birthday show. And yeah, man, I'm just like excited to release this new single and this new EP. It's like a shorter EP, but I think these songs really represent kind of where I've been since like pre-pandemic to now. Some of my most personal work to date, like three songs on there I shared with you, like each one is very, very tied very closely to home and just kind of like what I've been through. And then, yeah, man. And then it's definitely a little bit different from the R&B that people might be used to with like my music. But after this project, I am back in the studio working on more music for this summer. So it'll be back to your regular R&B programming this summer. But for now, man, I'm enjoying the ride. It's been wild, bro. It just feels good to be back in the swing of things again, you know, without having to worry about COVID. So
yeah, I know.
I'm stoked, man. Yeah, because it was we had our first interview like February like of 2020, because I had my soda bar show with Albert.
Yep.
And I remember like talking about like, man, I have all these plans, and then the freaking pandemic happened, and then I made that pandemic EP that like you had interviewed before too. So it feels good to now, like after all that, like to be in a place where like I have all these plans for the future. So it only felt right to like start talking about it with you again, man, because I feel like always the start of anything that I'm about to do, I gotta hit you up first.
You know what's crazy too is that, you know, you talked about a lot of life-changing things, you know, turning 30, coming out of the pandemic, you know, going from being at home to that. And I was just about to bring that up. It's gonna be a year that you guys, or
dude,
maybe
it's
over a year.
It's two years?
See, that's how
it got. We got married 2020, September 2020, and then yeah, this past September it was 2 years. Bro, it's I remember you said it, you were like, enjoy every minute because it goes fast. And I'm like, I don't know how to go fast, you know? And then now I'm like 2 years in, I'm like, oh man, it's going really fast.
I told you.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It is crazy.
So what is life like for you being an artist, being married, and then going through all these different changes that are happening in your life? Like, do you feel it's overwhelming, or do you feel like, you know, you're kind of the type to just kind of take things one at a time?
You know, I don't see it overwhelming, bro. I think I was talking to my boy Nick Piccoli, because he got married too in 2021. And bro, you know what? To be honest, like to be married and be an artist, like what's the beautiful thing about it is that it's a different responsibility now. You know what I mean? Like before, when I was, you know, making music, I only had to think about myself. Like it was kind of just, here's my songs, you know, like this is kind of like on me and like I'm gonna release this stuff. Where now there's a different expectation and a different responsibility that I have now, because there's another life relying on me, you know, like I'm taking care of someone else now as well. So I think it's been nice, because not that I ever like took it for granted before, but now it's like everything that I do moving forward, there's a little bit more weight and significance to it because there's someone else involved. And so it's been great, man. Like I think it's only fueled the fire even more so. I'm lucky to have a wife that, you know, supports every bit of this endeavor and like has been with me since the start, to now be married and to be experiencing these joys and victories in the music alongside her is nothing beats it, man. And so I it's not overwhelming at all. I think if anything, it stokes the fire even more, because now it's like it's bigger than just myself.
Yeah,
you know. And
yeah.
I think, yeah, and I'm sure, and I know you could speak to that too with like your, with all your creative endeavors, like you having a big family and stuff. It's like, yo, like it's not just me and my work. It's like there are people who are leaning on me, and like, you know, and it's been such a different ride now, because I think each move that I make and each approach to like whether it's a show or a single or whatever, I have to go all in, you know. Yep. Like I don't have time to like waste time anymore, because yeah, like time is ticking. Like the pandemic did teach me to take it like a day at a time. It forced me to slow down, you know, even when I didn't want to. But I think that's what's helped me to get to this point now, that's so excited for 2023, because you know I had time in those past two and a half years to like reflect of how I want to go forward.
That's a good way of looking at it. And then at the same time, you live in California, you have to have like 2-3 jobs in order to live here. So
yeah, bro, I gotta have all these multiple streams of income. So
that's a different story. But one thing I do love about you and your music is, one, lyrically, to me, I think you're like a lyrical genius. I just love the way that you put words and stuff together. On top of that, I love the songs that you write. I mean, they're love songs, right? And so they're like classic love songs with a twist of like spark and energy and all of that. Now, do you feel like now being married, has that influenced you in your songwriting a little bit more? Has it took you to like that next level? Or do you think you're kind of still in that same lane?
I definitely think it's taking me to another level because we were together for a long time before we got married. But I mean, Roz, you know, like, you know, marriage just brings so many other experiences. I don't want to say problems, but like it brings all these other experiences that like you didn't know when you were like, you didn't experience when you were dating.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think lyrically it's allowed me to dig a little bit deeper into like the what I'm talking about. And there's just a different weight. I mean, I obviously will always have those, you know, those classic R&B love songs that are like, you know, just about how she makes me feel, or like, you know, the throes of young love and whatnot. I think that's always something that I can like tap into. But there are certain songs that I have that like, and even just moving forward, there's just a different nuance now to the lyrics because I'm in a different place in my life, you know? And like, for example, I had a song that I released in 2021 called Same Bed. And I remember that one was literally I wrote it because we had gotten in a fight. And, you know, people like married couples always say like, don't go to bed upset. And I was like, okay, like, you know, that's like, everyone says that. But experiencing that, like in the context of marriage and like firsthand, I was like, oh man, like, I get it. Because you're literally like, you're lying next to this person. And if you guys go to bed upset, like the two inches that may separate you feels like a mile because of like where your hearts are. And so it was cool, like being able to write from a place of like true marital experience now. And so, and I think, I mean, I'm not every song is going to be about like what I'm learning in marriage, but there is a little bit more of that nuance. And I think a little bit more depth because I'm in it. You know what I mean? Like it's real now.
I know exactly what you're talking about too. When you're talking about that, it's like you don't want to go to bed mad. You don't want to go to bed alone. So you got to try to figure out how to maneuver and get around all that stuff. And then once you experience it, then it's becomes like a learning lesson for you, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Now looking back at 2022, how do you think you ended the year musically in regards to songs and things like that? And then how is that setting you up for 2023?
So I started 2022 pretty strong. Like I released three singles, my song Tango, 100 and Tempo. And then I had another single with my cousin Moira that was just like a reimagined version of one of our old songs. And then I didn't release anything since like August, like, or since the summer. And I was featured on my friend Sarah's album, but to be honest, bro, like for all of fall, I was just kind of in the studio just working on this year. Cause I think for me, it was like, I was ready to, not to like move on from anything, but more so like, let me just take a step back from everything and start working on this year. So like when I do come back out to release stuff, I can come out swinging, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, man, to be like, I think if this makes sense, I think my silence spoke louder than my actions. It like spoke loud for my actions, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Dude, you were there through the pandemic where I was doing the Sad and Sanitized series, and then I released so much music in that first in lockdown. I never slowed down. And I think last year God was like, yo, like chill, because next year we can take it to the next level, but we need to properly plan how you want to do this. And so like I think being able to take a step back and kind of reassess my situation and figure out what direction I wanted to go in musically is how I ended 2022, which is now it feels good to like now unveil kind of the new music and this new like sound and look, you know? And yeah, I mean, you heard it, like this stuff is different. And so I'm excited, man. I think it was a much needed, it wasn't even a break, but I think I definitely needed a little bit of that separation to really see my situation from like 30,000 feet, you know?
And then you're right. The songs that you sent me, they're definitely a different look and feel for what you're doing.
Yeah.
I want to say it's even like a more mature sound for you now compared to what you've done in the past. I mean, obviously there's one song, Fashionably Late, that I like, which I think still kind of resonates with you know, a typical classic type of Neiman joint, you know what I mean? But then you have the two other songs, which then takes you on this different type of journey or this different side of you that you're allowing people to kind of get into now. So maybe let's talk about that. Describe that to me. What is that new look and feel for you for 2023? Like, how would you describe that to someone?
So when I first started writing, I was really inspired by like singer-songwriters like John Mayer, Jason Reeves, you know, like, it's funny because he's one of my good friends now, but you know, when Jesse Barrera's like solo stuff, like earlier on, like that singer-songwriter kind of acoustic sound was like something that really spoke to me, because that's how I first started writing, was just me and a guitar. And so this upcoming EP, it's a little bit of a left turn for people who have known my stuff, like the R&B stuff. But for me, it's like, it's really me giving a peek into like the emotional vulnerability that pulled me to songwriting to begin with, you know? Truth be told, like after this project, like I have some R&B tracks on the way, but like those three songs that I had sent you it's my most sensitive personal work to date. And I think the maturity, I think, is less in the sound and more so in the lyrical content that I'm singing about, you know? Yeah. Because, you know, one is about memories, and another one is about leaving my childhood home, and home not being, you know, the physical place with the people. And then Fashionably Late is like, it was a letter to my now wife. And so like, I think you can hear my heart on these songs, you know? And I think, yeah, for this project, I just want people to like absorb the storytelling, you know? Because I think a lot of my stuff is in the past of, you know, either dance to or like, you know, drive to. But this stuff, I think I'm really trying to tap into that emotional place for people. And so, yeah, man, I'm like, it's a little different, but I think if you come into it open-minded, it'll be really easy to relate to.
And after listening to a few of them, I'm like, man, I want to throw some remixes on this as well. So I'm going to explore around with
Say less, bro. Say less.
I'm excited. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the songs in just a minute. We'll talk about the EP. We'll definitely break down Fashionably Late. But again, let's kind of refer back to the brand new show that you have coming out at the Peppermint. So let's talk about that really quickly to, you know, kind of give insiders, you know, what to expect in the show. You did add an artist that I like as well, Jessica Domingo. So I'm going to leave it to you, man. Just break it down. Tell us about the show. What are we going to expect? Why people should get tickets if they haven't gotten them already? And then are there going to be any more surprises aside from Jessica?
Dude, so I was performing at colleges like last year in different places, but my last like kind of real big headline show was Constellation Room last year, you know, and it was packed. And I was back in January, and it felt really good, but that was also the height of Omicron. And so I've always been the type to, like, I've always loved seeing these big headlining shows as like either to open like the next chapter or to close a previous chapter. This one is to open the new chapter. It felt only right to have done those two big shows at the Constellation Room of the Observatory in Santa Ana in Orange County. But I just felt like, yo, for this next chapter with this new music and with all the stuff that I have coming out this year, let's open it up big in LA, you know? I've seen a few shows at the Peppermint. One recent one was Albert and Jesse show last year. And it's just such an iconic venue. And like, I was like, man, like, what better place to kind of kick off this next chapter and kind of close this past 3 years. Let me like close it out and begin this new thing with my like LA debut, because I've performed in LA before, but this is my first headlining LA show. And so, man, I'm excited, bro. Like, yeah, the homie Jessica Domingo is coming through. She's opening for me. She's an incredible artist. I've had the privilege to be able to like write with her on one of her songs, and she is incredible, bro. She's like such a talented artist, and like I just feel like her brand and her grasp on like her vision and her brand like is so clear, you know? Like she's always been so kind of certain in the direction and look and aesthetic that she's made for herself. And so it's always been rad. And so I just feel really honored to have her on the set. Got the homie Jay Pistols, who's like DJing the night. And yeah, man, there is a few surprises I can't tell you, like, unless you're there, you know, like, you'll see.
You can text it to me later.
yeah. Hey, man. See it in our private chat. But bro, it's exciting, man. It's going to be brand new set. I'll be doing Fashionably Late for the first time live. I'm going to be also playing another song from the EP that night as well. Got a few covers that like we've been working on. And yeah, man, like, I mean, like, the beautiful thing about like my shows is that like people have never shied away from singing these songs. And the nice thing about the Peppermint Club is it's kind of intimate, you know, like it's like an intimate spot. And so it's going to be nice to just hear like these voices like again, because Constellation was pretty big and like it's kind of wide, right? Where like Peppermint is like tight.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty excited, man, like just to be able to kick off this show at such an iconic spot and like in Hollywood. And yeah, man, yeah, new set list, new songs, some friends coming through that's gonna maybe join me on stage. And
oh man,
and
I, yeah, can already, man, I can already guess. I have hey, inklings right now who's gonna be there.
We're still kind of under a month out, but we're close to selling out. So
that's awesome.
I'm just like, I'm trying to get people through. Those who, it's 21 and over, so those who have kids, letting you know now to find a babysitter, because you know, like, this is mom and dad's night out, you know. So yeah, man, I think it's gonna be sick. And I think it's just the perfect way to kick off my 30s and also this next chapter, the next chapter in music. But also, like, for those who don't know, like, the day after, I'm like 30 years old, you know. So like, it just feels good to kind of like bookmark it. And the week before, I'm releasing a new song, so like, kind of like stuff happening like one, yeah, after the other, you know.
That's amazing. I'm excited to be there, because if you guys already know Neiman's vibe and you know Jessica Domingo's vibe, you already know that show is going to be all vibes. So definitely it's going to be very vibey for sure. So don't miss out on that. Once again, the date is March 3rd. March 3rd. So make sure you guys pick up the tickets and make sure you guys be there. You don't want to miss that show. But now this is the big part of the show here. We're going to talk about the music. I mean, obviously the music is the key to everything that you're doing right now. And so the tracks that you sent me three tracks. One was Fashionably Late, Sticks and Stones, and Bank. And out of the three, I definitely want to dive into Fashionably Late a lot more. And so guide me through this really quickly. When you started writing this song, because you mentioned earlier, it was like a love letter to your wife. You know, why this song and why now? Why did you feel you wanted to write her this letter, being married after 2 years?
You know, what's funny is that I wrote this song back in 2019 before I got engaged. It's a song of reassurance, because I think at that point, some of our friends around us were getting engaged. We had been together for a long time, and she was kind of wondering, are we like, what is the plan? And if you look through the lyrics, it really is one of those things where it's like, hey, like, our time is our own. Our timeline is different from our friends and other people. Let's not compare ourselves to like where everyone else is in life or in their relationship. Like, let's just focus on what we have. At the end of the day, like, either way, it's us. You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, Fashionably Late, like, it was kind of like it was just a little play on like, yo, like, we may be late to like getting engaged, but, you know, Fashionably Late, you know, Filipino time. And so like, it's a song of just assuring my significant other, like, hey, like, we're gonna get there. Nowadays, people are like, man, we're not engaged. What are we? You know, there's always a question of what we are, but this song was like, hey, we may not be engaged yet, but know that like there's no one else. Like it's us.
Yeah.
You know, and at the time when I wrote it, I was figuring stuff out. You know, I was just, you know, trying to get my ducks in a row and trying to, you know, prepare being a husband and, you know, like what that looked like and preparing a life that can properly take care of another person. It was supposed to come out much earlier, but, you know, pandemic happened. So, like, it's coming out now, but it's kind of, funnily enough,
it's fashionably late.
You know, yeah, it's like coming out fashionably late. But I think it's cool now because I can literally release this song 2 years married and be like, hey, like, we're here. You know what I mean? Like, forever started in 2020. You know, we, like, each day that comes, like, it's us till the end, you know? And it feels good to have that now because it's like, it's encouragement to like any couples who are out there, like, you know, sometimes it's like, especially with Instagram and like social media, it's easy to feel like discouraged by seeing where other people are and like the comparisons and stuff. But it's like, hey, like your timeline is different. There is no set rule to say that like, oh, when this person gets engaged or when you hit this age, you have to be here. And, you know, I think it's different too, because my wife is older than me. And so there was a little bit of that, like, hey, like we've been together for a while, you know, like not getting any younger. And so, you know, Fashionably Late was, it's just that song to encourage her, like, hey, like we got this.
Yeah.
Our time is our own. And we are in charge of our narrative. Like nobody else is in charge of the story that we write together. Like, this is our story. That's Fashionably Late, man.
So how did you get to start writing this song? Because I mean, it's not like, hey, I'm going to sit down, I'm just going to write the song about being fashionably late and our relationship and things like that. What was kind of the first steps that you took in order to start thinking about what to write in this song?
I wrote this with Jesse Barrera and Albert Poses, the homies. As a lot of our songs start, it's just a lot of like, just talking about life and yeah. where we are, you know? And, you know, at the time when I had written it, I was preparing to propose in December, and this was like middle of the year. I didn't have a plan yet of how I was gonna do it. I just knew I wanted to around this time. But, you know, there was a little bit of questions of like, yo, is this gonna happen this year? And so, you know, talking to Jesse and like, you know, about it, like it was one of those things where it's like, hey, like, I think this song could be something like to her, just like, hey, like, don't worry, like, we got this, you know? And like, I think that's something that I've really loved doing, especially with any artist that I write with. Like, it is talking about life first, you know, and kind of opening up the door to, you know, where you are in life and like what you're going through and different things that are happening. Like, for example, I had written with Kiana V about a month or two ago. And funnily enough, the majority of our session was us talking and catching up on like where we are. Like what we've been up to. And then that informed the song that came to be, you know, like she released, it's called I Wanna Be Here. So I wrote that with her, and like we wouldn't have gotten there without being able to talk about where we are, you know? And so that was the same thing with Fashionably Late, was just like, hey, like I am at a point now where I do want to propose, but like there's a lot of question marks. But the one thing that is for certain is that it's a her and I.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how I'm gonna do it. Don't know what's gonna happen next year. I mean, obviously none of us knew there was going to be a lockdown the following year, but there's so many question marks. But the one thing that I'm sure of is that it's her, you know, it's like, it's her and I, that was the genesis of that song.
That's dope, man. So what I want to do is I want to say somewhat line by line. And then I want you to tell me like, what were your thoughts when you wrote these pieces? Cause again, to me, I think you're a lyrical genius, right? And so I love breaking down this song just to kind of get, you know, that insight on your thought process and what you were thinking. So, you know, the first verse, right? It starts off, out of time, were we really ready? You don't have to say, that's just fine. I'll hold the compass steady. We'll make our own way. So, I mean, obviously there is some of that. You're kind of ensuring and guiding direction, but, you know, tell me what are you trying to tell your wife here?
I remember people would ask me like, are you gonna propose soon? All this stuff. And I'm like, oh, you know, like, it's not like that I'm not ready. It's just more like I want to prepare things. And people always say, there's never a perfect time. You're never going to be ready. People say that about marriage. People say that about babies. Like,
yes, those
you're
two.
Never gonna, yeah, those two. Like, you're never ready. There's never a perfect time. And so I wanted to open it up with, are we ever really like ready? Like, you know, don't you have to answer that. But it's like, the answer is no. It's like, you're never going to be 100% prepared. I was really stoked on that line. I'll hold the compass steady. We'll make our own way. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like everyone has a different view of their future. Everyone has a different approach to it. And like, I wanted to depict this picture that like, I got this. Just trust me. I'll get us there. We're making our own way. Like we don't have to follow this path that this person's doing or this couple is doing. It's like, we are going to get there ourselves and we're going to figure it out ourselves. You know, this song is really just about us writing our own story and not basing it on someone else's.
So then after that comes the pre-chorus where it says, you know, honey, there ain't no need to rush. Promise we ain't collecting dust. Even when moments feel we're losing touch. I know commitment is a must. It isn't easy if we don't have trust. Either way, this ends with us. That's so freaking deep, dude.
Thank you, man. Okay, so those two lines are kind of together where it's like there's no need for us to rush what we have. Like when I say promise we ain't collecting dust, it's like what we have is still fresh. No matter how much time goes by, we can be together for the next 10 years. Each day is going to feel brand new. I think there's sometimes like this idea that like the longer you wait, you grow stale, or like you lose like a relationship being new and fresh and whatnot. And I was just like, no, like we're not getting old. I like that depiction of like, we're not collecting dust. When you think of like a book on a shelf that's like been there for years, it's like, trust me when I say that, like each day with you feels brand new, you know, like, well, there's always something new to love and learn. Let's take our time. Like, let's enjoy this ride. Even when moments feel we're losing touch, even in those moments that it feels like we don't see eye to eye, I promise that like we are still together. And I think that's something that I've always wanted to like to push with like my relationships and my view of love, is that like, I mean, like, I think people will disagree with me, but I think a lot of this generation is like, if it's not working, then like there's no, like, at least from like what I've seen, there's not a lot of intention on working at something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like, if it doesn't work, I mean, if something's not working, we don't see eye to eye, then it's like, all right, maybe it's best that we like split up. Where it's like, I'm always on the side of like, we are constantly choosing each other every day. We are constantly working for each other every day. Even in those moments that we don't see eye to eye and we lose touch with each other, or we feel distant or whatever, we are still working to amend that and like to stay together, you know? Yeah. And so with this whole song, it was that, where it's like, it's never been a question about us, you know? I know commitment is a must. It isn't easy if we don't have trust. So it's like, for this to work, we have to be committed to each other, and we have to be committed to seeing the finish line. For me, like, when I was, not that she ever pressured me or anything like that. It was more just like, I just wanted to like alleviate her doubts or insecurities. But for me, it was like, just trust that I'm committed to seeing this for forever. Just trust that I'm committed to like bringing us to the finish line, not even the finish line, but bringing us to the point where we can start forever and like the rest of our lives together, you know? And either way, it ends with us. No matter when we get married, no matter how we get married, no matter what age we are, it's us.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's always going to be us. You know, like, there's like, you know, you've heard stories of people like giving an ultimatum for certain things, or like putting a deadline or like an expiration date on something. Or it's like, for me, it's like, I will constantly work for what we share. Like, either way, like, no matter the circumstance, it ends with us. It's always going to be us.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
And you know, it's crazy, and I don't know if this was intentional or not, but I don't even know if you're aware of this, but when I heard and read those two lines, it actually reminds me of the way you create music, because you always create music that's very intentional in either somewhat becoming a classic that's timeless, that is, thanks, at the end of the day is again, it's about, you know, the finish line, right? And so when I read those two lines, immediately that's kind of what I thought about. It's like, this is kind of like an anomaly of how you create music. Man. It's like a relationship to music as well.
I'm writing it to myself, dude. Maybe. No, but that's true, man. Like, I mean, now that you say it like that, it's like, bro, like last year, I mean, dude, the pandemic, you know, like, as much as I hate to admit, like, I know it from the outside looking in, it was like, I didn't slow down. I released two EPs and all these singles, but bro, I was getting burnt out, man. You know? And like, a lot of it was a big question of like, yo, what is the landscape of music now? Like, where am I with my fan base, or where am I with, you know, my relevance? And like, I love that I get to talk to you about this stuff, because you were literally there like right before the pandemic. But like, man, when I did Soda Bar with Albert, I remember telling you like, I have these songs coming out, and me and Albert are working on stuff, and like the world is my oyster. And then the pandemic happened. And like, bro, like for a long time, my commitment to pursuing music was rock. There were questions of like, do I still want to do this? Do I still want to, you know, pursue this? But it isn't easy if we don't have trust. It's like, I got to trust the grind. I got to trust the process. Yeah. I got to trust that like whatever God is orchestrating in my life is like, I have to see this through, you know? And so, man, I'm glad I did, because now it's like, I'm looking at the rest of this year and it's like, man, like this is just the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
And so yeah, man, like I totally agree. Like I, like it's crazy that you opened my eyes to that, but thank you.
Let's jump to the second verse. We'll talk about the chorus after we get through the verses, but the second verse goes, redefine what they're all expecting. That's our choice to make. Because we're writing the chapters, the narrative is ours. No use getting up on a future that will wait.
Redefine what they're all expecting. That's our choice to make. So it's like with Filipinos, right? Like with either the career paths or marriage path or whatever, it's like there's a timeline that is expected. You know what I mean? What with if it's medical, it's like, okay, you gotta go to school. Then you're gonna do clinicals, and then you graduate, then you have a job. Or like after you graduate, then you get married, and then you have a kid, and then I have an adult. Like there's kind of, you know, like parents and whatnot, like there's an expectation of like, this is what's supposed to happen, and this is what you're supposed to do. So that's that first line. It's just like, hey, like redefine what they're all expecting. Let's prove that our way of doing things also works. Let's prove to these naysayers or these doubters that like, the way that we will go about it can also work. That there's not just one way to the finish line or to marriage or to whatever, to success. Again, bro, I mean, like, it also can be related to just my pursuit of music, or it's like, let me redefine what it means, like what it looks like to pursue your passion. Like, that's kind of that idea of like, let's rewrite, let's reimagine expectations and like what's supposed to be the way to do stuff.
Yeah.
That's our choice to make. So it was like, you know, to her, it was like, that's up to us. At the end of the day, the relationship is us two. These other people are not involved.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's up to us. Because we're writing the chapters, the narrative is ours. As much as these people like can speak to us and kind of push their opinion and push their criticism, the pen is in our hands. Like, I mean, like it's our story to write. No use getting hung up on a future that will wait. At the end of the day, like if I keep saying at the end of the day, but bottom line, if it ends with us, like if I'm confident that it's always going to be us, then whatever future we have imagined together is going to happen. If I'm convinced that we're meant to be together, then the future that we fantasize and we look forward to as, you know, husband and wife or whatever, that's going to be there forever because I'm confident in what we have now. So like, yeah, so no use getting hung up on a future that will wait. Like the future doesn't have an expiration date if we are sure of what we share together. If we're committed to what we share, you know. Can't say that if one person is too focused on the timeline and the length of time that, you know, it takes to get somewhere. I can't speak to that, but like at least for my wife and I, we're gonna get there no matter what. That future will wait for us. It's not dependent on getting engaged or getting married by a certain time. Like it's gonna happen. So,
and I could totally relate to that too, because I mean, I've been in those situations as well, right? When it comes to family, the timelines and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
I remember as a kid, like, you know, I was younger, my dad would be like, you know, after I graduated college and all that stuff, he's like, when are you gonna get an MD? And I'm like, what's an MD? And he's like, it's a marriage degree. When are you gonna get one of those, right? I'm like, oh, I don't know about that one anytime soon. But you know, I could totally relate. And then on the other side of that, from the music side, I even see that even with, you know, our culture, like Filipino artists in the music industry. You know, we're so, you know, how come we don't see Filipinos in the mainstream? How come we don't see them like on TV, et cetera? But then at the same time, we have that power to change that. And I think it's already happening, right? Like,
yeah, where, for sure.
You know, I think our celebrities now are not necessarily those that you would see like on television, but, you know, we have influencers, we have those YouTube stars, you know, we have those creators that are making waves and are getting noticed. I mean, shoot, if you remember when her won her first Grammy, she won it off a mixtape that she did. That was how she won.
Now she's an EGOT. Like, she got an EGOT.
You know what I mean?
Grammy, yeah. No, I think you brought up Steve Lacy earlier too. What's crazy is that, like, same thing, where it's like Steve Lacy's approach to music is different from what a Filipino artist sounds like. You know what I mean? Like, we're so used to, you know, with like Filipino male artists, I don't want to say that it's all the same, but it's like, you can kind of imagine already what the world's gonna sound like or what it, you know, influences they have. But Steve Lacy is a great example of like, oh, this is different from like what you would associate with like a Filipino artist.
Yeah.
You know, Same with her. There's a movie Triangle of Sadness with the Filipino actress in it. Like, there's like, I just feel like what's nice now, going back to your first question with how it feels to be like Filipino in this day and age, especially in the creative space, like, I think what's nice is that we are seeing firsthand all the different ways that Filipinos can excel that are redefining what we thought of before. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just R&B, or it's not just this kind of movie, or it's not just OPM. Like, there's so many different ways. And like, yeah, like, I mean, we are now redefining the expectations that Filipinos had in the industry.
Yeah. It's crazy. That's crazy how that can correlate to your story here.
Sure.
So let's get down to the chorus. And, you know, you're not a bridge guy. I don't see a bridge here. But so the chorus here says, set the story straight. You know, the pen is in our hands, fashionably late. But wasn't that part of the plan? Everything we're saving, facing, chasing, will come to see the light. Was always you and I set the story straight.
Yeah. Fun fact, the background vocals on the chorus is Albert Poses.
Nice.
So whoever, like, when you guys hear it, February 24, that is Albert. Set the story straight. Know the pen is in our hands. Like, hey, like, if there's anything that's unclear to you, let me set the story straight. Let me clear it up for you. Like, the pen is in our hands. No one else is writing this story. No matter how loud their voices can be speaking into our relationship, we're the ones who are writing the story.
Yeah.
You know, like, not your parents, not my parents, not our friends, not other family. Like, the pen is in our hands. Fashionably late wasn't that part of the plan. You know, like, it was a little bit more of like a, if I'm saying it as a monologue, I think that line would come with a wink. You know, it's just like, hey, like, fashionably late wasn't that part of the plan. Like, I think it was more just like a, it's just more of a cheeky little response to, like, it's never someone's plan to be late.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, hey, we're here. I mean, like, this is, you know, like that when people don't mean to do something and it happens and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, I planned that. Like, that was kind of, that's kind of the idea with that. It's like, you know, I totally planned it this way. Everything we're saving, facing, chasing will come to see the light. So it's like everything we're saving, like, we are saving certain experiences for marriage, my wife and I, you know, whether it's buying a house or traveling together and all these things. It's like, or everything that we're facing, the future together, and then, like, even chasing, like, you know, like the fantasies and dreams of what marriage looks like together. That's gonna happen. It'll come to see the light. Like, I promise you that, like, there's nothing stopping that from happening for us, because it's always you and I.
Yeah.
Like this song is if there's anything that for people to take away from this, it's the certainty in what I share with my significant other. No matter what doubts you have, no matter how much time goes by, I'm not worried about a thing, because I know it's you. We could wait 100 more years, and I don't mind, because, like, there's not a doubt in my mind that whatever comes, or whatever I'm looking forward to, or whatever I'm chasing, it's always going to be shared with you. You know, it's crazy to you know, break these lyrics down now, where we're here. You know what I mean? Like, when I wrote it, I wasn't married. Like, I wasn't even engaged.
Yeah.
Didn't even have the ring. Like, I didn't have the ring. I didn't have a plan. I knew that it was going to maybe happen around this time. But, you know, like, I was just thinking of, like, what the future held, you know, for my career, for whatever. And so it feels good to write this now, like, 2 years in to marriage, and being like, you know, we got here, you know? And, like, yeah, it was fashionably late, and it was never a question of, like, we were never in question. It was just a question of when it was going to happen. But that never affected my certainty in who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with.
Amazing, dude. Now nice, the money question here is, what did the wifey think of this? What was her reaction or her response?
She liked it, man. And, like, I mean, my wife is funny, because, bro, I mean, like, even before any of this was even a thought, like, pursuing music, she's been there through all of my songs, through all the bad stuff in the beginning, through all my bad songs now, like, to, like she's seen every iteration of me as an artist. And so I don't want to say she doesn't care, but she's heard so many songs about her that it's like, at this point, you know, it's like, yeah, no, thank you. And like, no, but she really liked it. And like, I think this song is definitely more on, there's like an indie pop rock element to it. And that's definitely like a genre of music that her and I used to like really be into growing up together. And so I think she was like even more so stoked on like musically how this world was built, you know, because we go in, man, and like there's no bridge, but it's that instrumental, that guitar solo that Jesse does, and man, like, yeah, she just really stoked. But yeah, it's like she was never worried about us either. I think it's just easy as, you know, like her, you know, being a woman that, you know, especially older than me, and then seeing other friends of hers get engaged, it's like, all right, when is it?
Yeah,
when is it our time? But it was never to the point of like questioning us. And so, yeah, she likes it, man. And like, there's more excitement now, and like, we the songs together, you know.
So I'm just curious. So after she gave you that answer, were you like, whew, like relief?
Oh, thank God. it's like it was one of those things where I was like, I'm planning something. Okay, like, it's happening. And so I don't feel like it bought me more time, but it definitely like took the weight off my shoulders of like, oh man, like I at least know that she also is trusting me in this, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's just crazy. Now it's like 2 years. I mean, like, I remember when we had talked about Soda Bar, I had just gotten engaged and you were like, yep, congratulating me on that. And now, man, like two years later, it's crazy.
And here we are.
Here we are, bro.
So the EP is coming out February 24th, or the single's coming out 24th?
Single's coming out on February 24th, and then the EP comes out a month later. And so, yeah, like the other songs on this record are very, very personal.
And then how many songs are going to be on the EP? Is it the three, or is it going to be more?
It's going to be the three. I mean, I'm still kind of, like, there's one other song that I have been, like, you know, considering just kind of throwing in there. But these are kind of the core three for the album.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, you guys. So check it out. Once again, Neiman is going to be live in concert on March 3rd at the Peppermint in Los Angeles. Brand new single coming out February 24th called Fashionably Late. The EP is coming out when?
In March. It comes out in March. And like, it's going to come a little bit after the show. And then the single comes out.
Now, before we close things out, we got an exclusive live performance of Fashionably Late by Neiman himself. So stay right here on Heavy Rotation.
Now it's time.
Another Heavy Rotation world premiere.
World premiere.
World premiere. World premiere.
All the music fresh.
Exclusively on Heavy Rotation.
Time, we ever barely ready. You don't have to say that's just fine. I hold the compass steady. We'll make our own way. Honey, there ain't no need to rush. Promise we ain't collecting dust. Even when moments feel with losing touch. I know commitment is a must. It isn't easy if we don't have trust. Either way, this ends with us. Send the stories change. Though the path is in lines, fashionably late. Wasn't that part of the plan? Everything we're saving, facing, chasing. We'll come to see the light. There's always you and I. Set the story straight. Yeah. Redefine what the ball is begging. There's a choice to make.
Yeah.
Because we're writing the chapters. The narrative is ours. No use getting hung up on a future that will wait. So the stories, yeah. Know the business in Lawrence, fashion lovely late. Wasn't that part of the plan? Everything we're saving, facing, chasing, will come to see the light. As always, you lies, it's story straight. Lovely late, but wasn't that part of the plan? Everything we're saving, facing, chasing, we'll come to see the light. It's always you and I.
This is Heavy Rotation.
Serena, this is
Hi, this is Ella, and you are listening to Heavy Rotation. You know, hip hop and R&B.
Man, thank you so much for that live performance. Always a pleasure having you on the show. Can't wait for all the new stuff, the show, the music. Man, I'm just extremely excited for you, man.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. It felt only right to talk about all this stuff with you, man. I feel like at every milestone in my career, like I'm touch base with you, bro. So thank you for having me again.
Heavy Rotation is the world's home for Filipino hip-hop and R&B. On our podcast, you'll discover Filipino artists, the stories behind their music, and exclusive live performances. Our original podcast first aired in 2007 to 2009 with the vision of creating a radio station with music exclusively by Filipino artists. In 2019, Heavy Rotation returned with the same dream, spotlighting music by over 300 Filipino artists from around the world. Today, Heavy Rotation has evolved into a digital audio platform with a handcrafted, curated online radio station and podcast striving to amplify Filipino excellence in music. Heavy Rotation is produced from San Diego, California. Listen now to the world's first and only online radio station for Filipino hip-hop and R&B 24/7 now on our website, heavyrotation.fm. And make sure you guys follow us on all social platforms at Heavy Rotation FM. Thank you for rocking with us.